Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. You're tuning in today to Fire on the Earth, and I'm so glad that you are, and particularly because of we've got the blessing this week of having a good friend of mine, Bill Presbridge, here, just sharing his story, his journey of encountering the love of God, experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit, and just lots of good things. If you didn't have a chance to tune in to Monday or Tuesday shows, I really encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net, because I think you'd be blessed and encouraged by what Bill shared, and I found it very moving. We're going to continue the conversation today. Welcome back, Bill.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Yes. I forgot to tell everybody that I just want to say a few things about your bio, kind of in case people are just tuning in today. You know, Bill is retired, but not really retired. He was at one time the president and CEO of ParishSoft, which we'll talk about maybe later this week as well, and the CFO, vice president of Creative Solutions. I'm married to a wonderful woman named Cindy, who we've been talking about, who's a major part of the story. And they have 7 kids and 15 grandkids. Bill's also very involved in our parish, as one of the main leaders at Christ the King here in Ann Arbor. So yeah, so welcome back, Bill. Thank you. And one of the places I thought it would be good to start is the first couple of days we're talking about the transformation and conversion, and really the Lord began to work in your life in a beautiful way. And then the Lord brought a special healing into your life. And I wonder if you could share that, your relationship with your dad.
Yeah, so part of my story was as a late teen, I got into a major fight with my father. He was a type A personality. And he had his own business. He was a county commissioner. And I was the oldest son. So he had very high expectations for me, which involved hard work and different sorts of things. And just he kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And one day I just basically snapped, and we got into a fist fight. And as a result of that, I resolved not to speak to him again, which that meant that when he asked me questions, I would just answer yes or no. And that lasted until this healing that Peter alluded to. So for several years.
Wow.
So Cindy and I went through Life in the Spirit Seminar, got involved with community and some really great relationships, which included a pastoral leader. You know, somebody who actually took us some time to get to know me and to kind of walk alongside me, to counsel me, you know, and grow
like
a
mentor,
right?
Kind of like a mentor.
Yeah, exactly. And one day he said, "Well, Bill, tell me about your relationship with your father." And I said, "I don't really want to talk about that." And he said, "That sounds pretty serious. You know, maybe you should tell me about it." And so, you know, I basically related this story to him, and that I hadn't been talking to my father, and I really didn't want to go there. Peter, the other day, you said it so well. I mean, when I thought about my dad, I felt sort of a sense of shame that I had done this with him, responsibility for it. And it was just yucky. I mean, I just didn't want to go there. And whenever I thought about it, I'd trigger the whole thing and stir it all up. And It was just really eating away at me.
Yeah,
but it's something I didn't want to deal with. Yeah. But this pastor leader, God bless him, he was just a lot of wisdom and gentle. He said, "Yeah, I think you ought to approach your father and resolve it." And as we talked through it, what that meant was I should go back to my dad, take responsibility for what I had done, repented for that, and basically let him know that I wanted to have a relationship with him. And so,
was there a moment in there where you thought, "Well, what if he doesn't respond, and I think he should repent too?" Or thoughts like that, you know, that people have, and kind of how you did. You probably were given some guidance, like how to just do your part, so to speak.
Exactly,
you can only get do what you can do.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
That's what it came down to. Because obviously, I still had some resentment toward him because he, you know, for the part that he played in it, and so. But what I came to was, I can only take responsibility for myself and repent for it. And I knew, after we talked through it, I knew that would be a good thing, you know, for my own guilt, things like that. And then with the hope that he would reciprocate. But I wasn't sure of that. It was a bit of a risk going to him. But by the time, I thought I'd be well worth it. And I prayed for my dad, and I prayed for the situation, and had a high degree of faith that it would go well. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the fateful day came up, and, you know, I just pulled him aside, because we didn't, again, we hadn't talked.
Wow.
So it was really odd, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Dad, you know, I'd really like to talk to you. Like, you know, kind of this.
He must have been shocked.
He was, yeah. It was kind of this awkward moment for a second. And he says, yeah, let's talk. So, yeah, I remember I pulled him outside. And so we started chatting. I said, you know, I just basically just went through what we just talked about. You know, Dad, this happened many years ago, and what I did wasn't right, and I want to take responsibility for that, so I repent for that, and I hope that you will forgive me. And, you know, I just kind of sat there for just a moment, because he was taking it very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was really important to him as well, he could tell. I didn't know how he'd react, but that's the way he reacted. And then he said that he was sorry for what he had done as well. And so we didn't hug. I mean, we just weren't huggers.
You weren't huggers.
It would have been good had we done that, but that wasn't the case. But from that point on, I mean, our relationship was good. We'd ended up like old times, like sitting in the woods, deer hunting, you know, and chatting with each other,
and
spending time with him in different kinds of ways. And rolling the clock way forward. So like 15 years later, he passed away. Very unexpectedly. He had a heart attack. And one day, you know, one moment he was there, and the next moment he was gone. It wasn't like he sat in the hospital for weeks or anything like that. And so my sisters and my sister, brother, and I were able to eulogize my dad at the funeral. And by that time, all this stuff had sort of healed. So what I remembered was all the good things that my dad was and who he was. And truly, he was a pillar in the community. I mean, he really did a lot of really wonderful things.
Yeah.
And so being able to eulogize him was such a, it was kind of a healing moment, another healing moment for me. And afterwards, I could think thank God. God, thank you that I had the chance to reconcile with my dad. Because if I hadn't done that, and all of a sudden he's gone and now I don't have the opportunity, I mean, I would have carried that burden around with me for my whole life, you know. So, I mean, I was just so thankful to the Lord that, you know, we had that opportunity and we're able to reconcile like that.
I was thinking of the Beatitudes when you're talking, you know, blessed are the peacemakers. And so we often think about that in terms of like people making peace between countries or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And when we start living for the Lord and kind of the Holy Spirit leads us into the Sermon on the Mount lifestyle, like we begin to change. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that was on your heart is you wanted to make peace with your dad. Mm-hmm. And without the help of the Holy Spirit, it just would not have happened.
Right.
And the Lord and the brothers and sisters helping you, encouraging you to do that. And this is why this is just such a wonderful organic, a description of the organic nature of living with Jesus. And it really is tied to as well, brothers and sisters and friends who are listening, is the idea that once we come to meet the Lord in the way Bill has described, is one of the things, one part of it is, first, he takes away our sin, he forgives our sin, he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit, which gives us new life, but then he wants us to come under his leadership and to start following him. He said, you come be my disciple, Bill, which means follow me, come with me.
Right.
And he leads us down all these paths because he wants to bring healing to us. He wants to restore relationships. He wants to do all that in our lives. But at the beginning of it, you say, well, that's never going to happen. Like if before you met the Lord, you said, I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't even know if I have the juice for it myself, that kind of thing. But that's what the Lord does if we let go of the reins. So yeah, wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful story. So you began to get into a career. You had an amazing career. You had two careers, it sounds like to me, but anyway, three now, you got another one, a different kind. But how did that whole dimension of your life begin to emerge?
Yeah.
When did you know you were talented? I guess one of the things I wanted to ask, you know?
It's funny. So during this vacation I just had with my grandchildren, one of my grandchildren said, Grandpa knows how to make money. That's what he said. Wait a minute.
You know, it's
like, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
You've got to be, you know, as a business guy. So, I mean, just to give kind of like a little quick overview, it's just like you have to, as a business person, you have to figure out a product that people actually want. You have to be able to market the product. You have to be able to sell it. You have to be able to support it. You have to do all those things. And if you can do that well, you're adding value and people are willing to pay for that. That's how you build a business. And then from that, if you do that really well, then you can make some money, right? It's not like we just go out and set out making money, right? Yes. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
You know, in a grandkid's way of thinking, sometimes they just must just think I was a little machine in the back of the room that just do this stuff.
So, or that your motivation was you had big dollar signs at the end of it to say, I can't take my eyes off that goal. I want big money.
Exactly.
Something very different was happening.
Yeah,
and so help us understand a young Christian man now going into the workforce and how did your faith inform what you were doing?
Yeah.
How did that go together?
Yeah. Great question. Okay. So Cindy and I got married. We're planning to have a large family. So, you know, I knew I needed a career kind of job, just to be able to support the family and then give her the option of being able to stay at home with our kids as they were when they were small and growing. And so so I started off my career in accounting, and it wasn't through a bunch of discernment. Although as my career went along, it became much more discerned. I'll just say that. Mm-hmm. It turns out I started off as in pre-med, and I hit this thing called organic chemistry.
Oh, yeah, the big wheeler.
It was a disaster. You know? And I took some business some accounting classes at the business school, and it was like super easy for me. And I'm sitting next to all these people that are extremely smart, and they're having a really hard time.
Yeah.
And I'm going, wow, this isn't hard, guys, you know, kind of stuff. So I started my career in accounting, and not for a noble purpose, but what I found out from accounting is the language of business. And what that meant was I could understand a financial statement and gave a picture about how business was running and all that. And you could sit down with the managers, the owners of the business, and you could say, hey, this is what's going on. What are you trying to do? Think about strategy. Like, if this is what you're trying to do, this is where you're at financially. What is that story telling you about how you can run your business better to be able to do what it is that you're trying to do? And I love that. It wasn't the accounting itself. It was the fact that you could use this as a story, essentially, around how to run a business.
Wow. Yeah.
And so, you know, that's where I really started to think about work. Work is a real blessing. A lot of people experience work as like drudgery. But work was like in the garden, you know, before the fall. It's like God calls us into creation, to participate in creation. That's what work is. And so if we're following our calling, praying about, you know, Lord, what kind of work would you like me to do? And you're understanding what your gifting is what kind of the things that you like to, what you're good at, usually those fit with the things that you also like to do, then you can get into work and it's rewarding and it's fun and it's creative and all of that. Fun might be a bit of a stretch, but I enjoyed my work and was able to do far more than I ever thought. So,
boy, time does fly, Bill. You're looking at your watch, there's just 50 seconds left in. Friends, there's a lot more to the story. We're going to come back tomorrow with Bill and just kind of pick up on this theme, because I think there's a lot you can share about how you integrated your faith with work.
Yep.
And then also as you became more and more successful and the way the Lord used you and how you were able to bless people in so many different ways as a leader, as an emerging leader in the Catholic community and things like that. So, friends, the Lord has a path for every single one of us. It's unique. Bill's path is very different than my path. But the point is, he's got a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. And it's really a matter of, it starts with really bringing our lives in alignment with him, coming into agreement with Jesus, who Jesus knows us to be as sons and daughters of God, and giving him the reins. Let's all do that for his glory. God bless you. Hope to see you tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.